Sometimes I should be more careful what I say since we're online, but I've never been good at that. I was thinking about what, I know what I'm preaching from, but I thought about what to call it. What a title would be. And all I could think about was that prophet George Jones. You know George Jones? He sung a song, "Who's Going to Fill Their Shoes?" Now, I know some of you have never heard who George Jones is, but us worldly people, we've heard of him, right? And he sung a song, "Who's Going to Fill Their Shoes?" On the way home Sunday night, Rochelle and I were talking, and she said, "You realize we're getting old?" I said, "Honey, it's become more than realize, it's a reality." She said, "You wonder who's going to do this?" I said, "Well, I think that's why we're here. We're supposed to be trained in the next generation. But does any of you all worry about what's coming up behind us? You know, I think it should be concerning enough that it would cause us to do the right things and live the right way. Would you agree with that? How the next generation turns out is going to have a lot to do with what we do. And we've got some awesome young couples. And they're here almost every service. And they're bringing their kids. And they're teaching kids. And, you know, but sooner or later, they're going to be standing up here leading songs. Preaching. If the Lord doesn't come. And we got to plan as if He's not here yet. We got to keep planning and keep working that direction. And To me, I feel like the greatest scripture, and it's kind of, I guess, the Lord's doing, because my studies this week was in the book of 2 Kings. After Rochelle and I had that conversation, I was already in 2 Kings anyway. And it was about Elijah and Elisha. Now, last Sunday morning online at 9 o'clock, I did a devotional, and I used the call of Elisha. How many remember the call of Elisha? Elijah walked by, slung his mantle on him, which is kind of a garment. And what did Elisha ask Elijah? What? Say it louder. No, not yet. You're ahead of the game. Yep. But before that. Huh? Let me go see my folks. There you go, John. Let me go see my folks and kiss them bye. Remember that? And what did he do when he got home? He took the plows and everything, made a big fire, killed his oxen, made a party and fed everybody, and left. And I made a comment Sunday that I think he was putting a period at this end of his life, because he didn't want to leave anything to come back to. Because at some point in time, Patrick, he's going to find out that farming's easier than pasturing. And he's going to say, I'm going to go back and farm. I just can't wait to get behind my John Deere and go. But he had ox, right? But you know, the disciples, when we get to the New Testament, what do they keep doing? They kept going back and fishing. Went back. Why? Because that's what they knew. And when things got a little like we don't like it, we could always go back to that. So I think Elisha says a lot to me about his call. He was sincere. I wonder, just a question, you think he ever had second thoughts? Should I have burnt everything? Shouldn't I maybe just kept one in the barn somewhere to come back to just in case? This don't work out, but it was. He did it all. Now here's what I want you to do. Go with me to 2 Kings. Now that's 1 Kings 19. This is 2 Kings 2. And it's been between 6 and 10 years now. You know what's recorded that Elisha did in this time? Zero. I mean, he sold it all. He burned it, fed it, and was done with the past. And for the next 6 to 10 years, he hung out with Elijah. learning. Can I ask a question? Do you think somewhere along the way he thought, I'm ready? Nobody? Y'all just tired tonight? I am a little. I think after a while, Brian's like, let me do it. But it wasn't time. It wasn't time. And he continued to stay with Elijah. Now, the lesson I want you all to get with me is in like 10 or 11 verses of chapter 2, starting with verse 1. And I want you to watch this with me, if you would, please. Because I think about my uncle. I remember at 10 or 11 years old getting up with him on a Friday, and drive to Lancaster. That's before they were trucks with trailers. You had a cattle truck. Had to load them on a ramp. And we'd come to Lancaster for the sale. Now back then, sometimes those things would go to daylight. And one of them teeters would feed you biscuits. Right after the bull sold. And sometimes we were there to the last bull sold, got the biscuit, and always brought something and took something with us. And Somerset sale was on Saturday. And sometimes we'd go right from Lancaster Stockyards to Somerset Stockyards and unload cattle there and sell them. And you know what I wish, Deborah? I wish I'd have paid attention. Because the last bull I got him 2 weeks ago. You know who bought him? My Uncle Dave. I got 10 cows. Paul bought me some, and Uncle Dave bought me some. I wouldn't know how to pick a good cow for nothing. But I've been to a bunch of sales. Sometimes we just live life, and we got people teaching us. He taught me how to stack hay on a trailer. Do you know there's a certain way you stack that when you hit that little deal like that, they don't fall off? Do you know after a couple loads of dumping off, you feel like you better pay attention to how he told you to stack it? And then one day, you made that, and you look back, and they stayed on, Bobby, like, woo! And I think, in my mind, I could still stack them. Two, one in the middle, two. This way, them that way. This that way, and them that way. Am I going right? I learned that from him. I learned how to cut tobacco. Hang it, strip it. But I'm going to tell you the other things I learned. He taught Sunday school at Pine Hill. I learned a lot about the Lord through him. Very practical teaching. Not deep theology, but practical. And I found out in my life I really need a lot of practical. Amen? And I think that's what's happening with Elisha and Elijah. Elijah's going on with the work. He's doing the work. Things are happening. Elisha's walking along. I don't know if he's paying attention as good as he should, but there's going to come a time it's going to show if he has or not. Because one day, Elijah will be gone. Now I've got to ask an honest question. How many people have somebody in their life that's already passed, if you could go back and ask them one thing, you'd love to be able to do it right now? I see a lot of hands. I'd be one of those guys. But you know what? When they're gone, they're gone. So I think we learn what we can. And I think as we think about the generation coming up behind us, some are sitting right in here today, that we think about you being ready to do this when we're out of the way. I tell my Belizean pastors this all the time. Some of my pastors have no other preacher in their church. And I ask them this question sometimes off to the side. Who's going to preach Sunday if you die Friday? Pastor, I've never thought about that. I said, you probably ought to be thinking about that. You probably ought to make that a matter of prayer. Be praying about the Lord call somebody. You know, I forget sometimes, Brother Greg, I should be praying for the Lord call people in the ministry. Thank you, brother. It's true. How many of you prayed this week? This is Wednesday. Lord, call others in the ministry. One. Two. And both of them are preaching. Because they see it. I talked to a guy, the chaplain that came in our room today at the hospital and prayed with the family. He's a preacher, a pastor down in Monticello. And he said they lost four country churches through the COVID. They never recovered. And the doors were closed. He said, "Brother, you're doom and gloom tonight." I'm not. But I want you to see how important it is that we get this next group ready. And if we're not careful as the group that's in running the show now, if we don't start letting the other ones do some stuff, they're not going to be ready. That's why Brother JT needs to preach some. Because there's people already talking. We could sure use him. I think he's probably about ready. I'm like, you probably ought to talk to him. I don't know. He said, "No, I'm not." But there's going to be a point in time, it's going to be his time. And we need to be paying attention to that. So there's some things. Now, all right, I'll preach now. That was my doom and gloom. Everybody's depressed. I got anxiety medicine at the door I'll give you all as you go out, all right? It's for free. Verse 1, chapter 2. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as the soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" He said, "Yea, I know it. Hold your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" He answered, "Yea, I know it. Hold your peace." I think that's probably a real nice way to say, shut up. Verse 6, Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they two went on. Now, I don't know if you've caught this or not, but they've been four places. And those four places were like the four major places in Israel's history from the time they came out of Egypt. Why do you think that Elijah took Elisha on this last day tour, 24 miles, by the way, if you want to do the math? Why did he take him to these places one more time? Let me ask another question. Why did he tell him to stay put at Gilgal and he didn't? He told him to stay put at Bethel and he didn't. And he told him to stay put at Jericho, and he didn't. He said, "Stay put at Jordan." He didn't. That means he wasn't listening. Or does it mean that? Can I stand down here and talk to y'all a minute? There comes a time, Brother Patrick, you don't listen to a man, you listen to God. And I think Elijah was giving Elisha a good test right now. You've been following me for 6 years everywhere I've been going. And you do what I say, you do what I don't say. I mean, you've been listening to me everywhere. But now, you're not listening to me. And I want you to know this, I think inside, Arnie, he's thinking, that's a good thing. Because I guarantee the Spirit of God was saying, you don't stay here, you go where he's going. And everywhere he got to, they said, "Don't you know he's going to die today?" "Yeah, I know it, but just hold your peace." Shut up. So where did he go first? Gilgal. What's big about Gilgal? Think about Israel coming out of Egypt and finally getting to the Promised Land 40 years later. What's so big about Gilgal? All right? The first time they turned around didn't go because of Gilgal. But the next time they went into Jericho, to the Promised Land 40 years later, and Gilgal is the first stop after the Jordan River. What happened there? Number one, the manna ceased. 40 years they got to eat manna. As soon as they got to Gilgal, no manna. Anybody know why? Because now they're going to eat from the food of the land that God had promised them. Anybody else know what happened? That hadn't been happening for 40 years? Thank you. They quit circumcising after they left Egypt. And they hadn't done it for 40 years. And when they got to Gilgal, God said, let's get back doing what we're supposed to be doing. Gilgal was the place of starting back what we're supposed to be doing. You know what else they did when they got there, Arnie? They had Passover. Remember that? Remember leaving Egypt? We're going to do this every year. They hadn't been doing it. And before we go any further, Miss Carolyn, I want us to start all over again. I want us to do the right thing, the main thing. Let's get back to it. And so the first place Elijah takes Elisha is to Gilgal. He said, this is where it all got right. And then we went to Bethel. What's so good about Bethel? That's where Jacob met the Lord, wasn't it? Laying there on that rock for a pillow, and the ladder was stretched up into heaven. Who's at the top of the ladder? God, and angels were descending and ascending. And then Jacob left there. But a few years later, what happened, Brother Joe?
He went back
to Bethel and worshipped. And before he went up on that mountain, he took all them gold earrings. And they hid them at the tree of Shechem. They got their lives right. And then they went to Jericho. What in the world happened to Jericho, Carrie? Huh? Exactly. He's standing there and all this walls are gone. And Elisha's standing there looking at it. And he said, why are we here? And he says, well, when we come across the Jordan River and we got everything right at Gilgal, our first battle was right here. We marched around this thing for a week. And when they blew that trump and they shouted, those walls went down into the ground. And now he takes him to the Jordan River. And what happens when he gets him to the Jordan River? Watch this. So what is Elijah doing with Elisha? I'm trying to get you to tell me. What's he doing? There you go. Say it again. Reminding him. You know, Proverbs 22:28, remove not the ancient landmarks. You and I, listen, I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. I'm just going to go ahead and be one till I die. Then go ahead and carve it on my rock under my name. Steve Meese Baptist. But before they were Baptists, this same teaching was going on. The faith that was delivered to the saints. And every generation's got the responsibility to share that with the next generation. You know, it's very sad today, but some people don't even know the significance of closed communion. Well, that's just something crazy. Yeah, I know, but the Lord did it that way. When He first did communion, He didn't bite everybody that was there for Passover, did He? And do you know that Judas was not there? Because the Lord had already described you don't give communion to lost people. I'll amen myself. Good grief. Amen, brother. The Lord's not going to do something that He told us not to do. So if Judas was lost, take a bow. Was Judas lost? Raise your hand. Get online. Hey, everybody watching online, everybody in the building raise their hand, but with Greg Correll. I'm kidding. He raised his hand too. But here's what I want you to know. God set the way to do it. Then Paul went about it. When you come together as a church, this is not to eat. Because he said you got food at the house. This is to take of the table. Look among yourselves. He's writing the letter to a local church at Corinth. And when it comes time to baptize him, he said, let's put him all the way under. If her bangs are hairsprayed and they don't go under, dunk her again. Because when Jesus got baptized, they was in the water. And they came out of the water. And when Philip baptized, they went into water. And they came up out of the water. And it's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. If they bury my uncle and they leave an arm out, he ain't buried. Come on, I'm a Baptist. Do I have any more with me? Salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's a teaching. That's something I want the littlest kid in this church to know as he grows up. I want him to know 1 Peter 3:9 that God is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any would perish, but to all come to repentance. I want them to know that. Brother Bobby's little grandson slept around here Sunday and he found him a Bible. He came and said, can I have this, Brother Steve? I said, absolutely. I told his dad, I said, read it to him. I want him to know how to be saved. Little Henry needs to know right now. So when he gets old enough, he might be like Lim was Sunday night and says, I want to be saved. You know, I was probably a mean pastor Sunday night, but I said, would you like to just wait till maybe Wednesday or something, Lim? He said, no, I want to get saved tonight. What does that tell you? Exactly. He didn't want to wait. I asked him, if you died tonight, where'd you go, Lim? I would go to hell, and I don't want to. You know why? Because he's been told. I expect our kids to accept Christ because they've been told what happens if you don't. Amen? That's what Elijah is doing with Elisha. He's taking him around. He's taking him to the tours, reminding him one more time. Oh, Brother Steve, we've already heard them messages. I know, but we need to hear them one more time because I want everybody to know this is what we believe. This is why we believe it. Amen? And that's what Elijah's doing with Elisha. Now, keep reading with me. It gets kind of interesting. I know you're bored out of your mind right now, but hang with me, promise. Verse 7, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets. If you notice, everywhere they went, they've been sons of the prophets. They're learning too. They're learning too. And they stood in view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took off his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. I'd love to have seen it. Quap! That's how you smoke something. I'm going to do some smoting. I love that word. Smote it, boy. He smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. I love that. So they, too, went over on dry ground. Moses has done it. Joshua's done it. Now Elijah and Elisha's done it. They've walked across the Jordan now on dry ground. You see that? And it came to pass when they were gone over, Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Woo! That's a lot. Should we ask for stuff like that? I think so. I'm telling you, I think this Elisha guy, we don't hear a lot about this, but Elijah we do, but Elisha, I think he was pumped up, fired up, JT. I think he's chomping at the bits. I think he's got a big block in that thing, Brian. I think he's ready to roll. He just needs somebody to turn him loose. Anything you want, Elisha? Yeah, I'd like to have a double dip of what you got. You know what God did? He gave it to him. Elijah ministered 10 years. Elisha ministered 20. Count them. Elijah did 7 miracles. Elisha did 14. This is exactly what he asked for. But I love how he asked it. He said in verse 10, he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I taken from thee." Remember all those places he kept saying? What did he keep saying, Patrick? "Stay here." And what did he say? "I ain't staying here." And now he tells him, "If you'll stay with me until you see me leave, you're going to get it. It shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Y'all know the story. And there you go. What a story! Is that a picture similar to what Enoch went through? You know, we use the word rapture, which is really just a catching away. Enoch was caught away. Now Elijah's caught away. Pretty cool, isn't it? Watch this. Verse 12. Elisha saw it and he cried, "My father, my father." Why did he call him father? I think the same reason Paul called Timothy his son. I think sometimes in the ministry or in life, people become like your kid. You're teaching them and there's that father-son relationship. "The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan." Oh my goodness. This is when I got a little bit excited at the house. Y'all should have been there. Rochelle done went out walking. I bet Mom and Dad probably heard me squall and wonder what was going on. Because I know what Steve would have done. "He took the mantle of Elijah and fell from him and he smote the waters." Absolutely. Why did he do that? Say it, Brother John. I want to hear what you said first.
He wanted to be sure the Lord would get it.
Exactly. He wanted to be sure. Let me ask y'all an honest question. Just be honest with me. Was it a little nervous, Greg, when he rode up that mantle?
Sure he was.
Because there's 50 people watching. You think he reared back with that leg when he got ready to smoke? Boy, I bet he smoked her hard. But listen, there's going to come a time, I got to say this, there's going to come a time that these people that's walking under, behind us and learning from us and watching us, there's going to come a time, Brother Greg, they're going to smoke the waters too. Because they're going to see if it's really real or not. They've been watching it. They've been hearing about it. But now it's my turn. Anybody in this room like that? Were you like that? Boy, I was. I was 19. I was going to smoke something. Took me about 6 minutes to preach my first sermon. That's including my 3-minute prayer. I quoted all the Bible verses anew in my prayer, babe. But you know what happened? They were there. 6 people accepted the Lord with a 6-minute sermon. And I realized really quick, God's in this one. Ain't going to matter what I got to say. If I let Him do the talking, let Him do the moving, it's going to happen. But you're going to have to test the water. You're going to have to test it. You're going to have to smoke something. And that's exactly what He did. Now, here's a little closing for you. He goes on, and he does a lot of great stuff for the Lord, does he not? I mean, he picks up the mantle, crosses that dry riverbed, and off he goes. I mean, to the races. I got 13 more miracles to do, Bobby. And he's on. But let me talk about Elijah as you go home tonight. Remember in Matthew chapter 16 when Jesus said, Who do people say I am? Some say you're what? Elijah. You know, it was prophesied that Elijah was going to come back. Go to Malachi real fast. Let me just give you some stuff to ponder. I'll give you some eschatology. I love that word. I love that almost as good as smoking something. Verse 5, chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the father to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Malachi said, Brother Bobby, Elijah's coming back. He's going to come before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. We know when that is. It's the end of the tribulation when the wrath of God is poured out upon this earth. And God says He's coming back. Jesus shows up and He's doing all this stuff and people are saying, I think Elijah's here. Now when they saw John the Baptist doing the stuff he was doing, they said, I think he's Elijah. Then they think Jesus is Elijah. Now here's where it gets really cool. Jesus takes three of the guys, Peter, James, and John, they go up on a mountain. Matthew 17, anybody want to read with me? I'm just filling in the time. I don't want y'all to get out early. Y'all just let me fill in the time. Matthew 17, He's going to take them up on this mountain. Chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and who? Elijah. And the Bible says, verse 3, what? What were they doing? Talking with him. Wouldn't it be cool to know what they were talking about? Go to Luke. Matthew didn't let us know, but Luke did. Luke chapter 9. I'm going to go ahead and start with verse number 30. That's the same stuff that Matthew just said. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and watch, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. They got Moses and Elijah up on the mountain. Jesus is transfigured. And they're having a conversation. And they're talking about Jesus going to the cross and rising from the grave. Because, Marilyn, there's no eternal life without it. But that wasn't the coming back that Malachi was talking about. Because when we get to the book of Revelation, there's going to be two witnesses. I'm going to step right on out on the limb and I'm going to tell you, I think it's Elijah and Moses. And they're going to witness for the Lord. And it's going to be viewed all over the world why it took place. Now, I want to tell you something. 40 years ago when I started preaching, I didn't understand that. But this past Sunday morning, London, when I preached, there were people in India watching, Belize, Michigan, and California. And a few over in Gary County. Isn't that cool? So when Elijah and Moses are here on the earth and they lay in the street dead, the whole world's going to watch them dead bodies lay right there.
And guess what's going to happen, Deborah? They're going to get up. Amen. They're going to get up. And they're going to go up. I call it a rapture. A catching up. And that's what Malachi was talking about. But you know, as I read all week this week, all I could think about, all Elijah was worried about was not all that stuff coming in the future. Listen, he's got some good stuff coming. He does. But he wasn't worried about that stuff, Bobby. He's wanting to make sure Elisha was ready to do this job. Because the faith depends on him keeping it going. Because I'm about to leave. I don't know if y'all getting this or not. But we ain't going to be here forever. And somebody, according to George Jones, has got to fill their shoes. I pray every day, Martha, for a missionary who would love Belize like I've loved them. And I know Brother Mounts prayed for that, and that's why I was there. But there's still work to do there. And I pray for pastors who will take these little country churches, who everybody's, these little churches, they're one of God's churches. And pastor them and love them. JT preached it one Sunday. Tell me that ain't a great bunch of people right down there at Carter Ridge. But somebody's got to step up. Somebody's got to teach these kids Sunday school. Somebody's got to teach BBS. Somebody's got to do these things. And we got to be the Elijahs and get them ready. And maybe you're an Elisha in here tonight and you're getting ready. Hang on. You're going to get to smoke something. It's coming. It's going to get to be your turn. And when you step up, you're going to know that the Spirit of God is really what we've been saying it is. Let's stand and pray tonight. Father, Lord, I just thank You so much for Your love for us. Lord, in just simple passages tonight, I've seen how You were getting one man ready to take over the work. Sort of passing the torch on. Lord, we don't know how many years we got left upon this earth. You know. You tell us our hairs are numbered. You tell us our days are numbered. So Lord, I pray that we'll be faithful the days we have. I thank You for those who walked in front of us faithfully. But Lord, I thank You for those who are behind us, walking behind us and following and learning. Help us teach the right stuff. Help us just go around to the things that are important to who we are. And just remind them, this is who we are. Because that's exactly what Elijah did with Elisha. So Lord, I pray tonight that You'll just be with us the remainder of this week for those families tonight that need special prayers. Lord, You know the needs that's out there. Lord, I just lift them up to You tonight. Lord, just have Your way in this service. In Christ's name, amen. What are we singing, Dub?